Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to the Thought Police. This is me, Mike Graham, and him, Kevin O'Sullivan, who I'm sorry to say has just arrived in a pretty bad mood. Because guess what? He was fucking late.
Yeah, I was fucking late. I was fucking late, but it's pre-strike games. Tomorrow pre-strike. Is the tube strike here in London, but the fuckers have got going already. I mean, fucking hell. So you come down from where I live in Hampstead, you get the Northern line, right? I'm just explaining this for people who live outside of London.
Yeah.
And there are two lines.
Who won't know what you're talking
about. In order to get to where we're doing this podcast, you have to get the bank line. So I get the bank line.
And this is the one that's been shut for about a year.
Well, the bank line's only reopened about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I get the bank line, and just as it pulls into Camden, where there are two lines, it announces, oh, this isn't going on the bank line anymore, it's going on the Charing Cross line. So I go, oh, fucking hell. So I get, like everyone else, I get off the fucking train, it says 6 minutes to the next bank train, so I stand there like a cunt. With everyone else, a load of cunts waiting. And then the fucking train comes in. I mean, literally as it pulls into the platform, there's the sign saying it changes from via bank to via Charing Cross. I go, fuck me! And then it says, there's another bank train coming in 4 minutes. All right, I'll wait for that.
So you wait for that one.
Fucking next one comes in, same thing, just as it's coming in. It's now going via the Charing Cross line. I said, right, I'll give it one more fucking time. The next one comes in, fucking does it again. I said, right, I'm getting on the Charing Cross. Go to fucking work.
Why didn't they just say they're all fucking doing
no
it?
No explanation. No fucking explanation. And you know what it fucking is. When these cunts have a strike, they need like about 8 days before it to mentally prepare for being lazy bastards who aren't going to work. So the fucking tube system is to fucking fuck already. And the strike hasn't even fucking started.
You won't be able to get home after this, will you?
To the Mayor of London, every journey matters. Does it fuck? You fucking dwarf.
Well, anyway, you got here eventually.
Yeah, this is it.
They're already saying, right, that this afternoon, the main train lines are going to start drying up, basically. You're not going to be able to go anywhere. Not because they're on strike tonight, but because they're on strike tomorrow. So apparently they have to start pulling the trains from about 5-6 o'clock tonight. It's a fucking joke, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, I've got... spare a thought for our friends, the TfL tube drivers. The average earnings are nearly £60,000 a year. 59,460 or something.
That's for a 4-day week.
4-day week. Yeah. And they all do like kind of limited amounts of overtime. And apparently many of them aren't more than £100,000 a year. And we don't even fucking need them.
No.
We don't even need them. All they do is they fucking press this switch and then they unpress it. That's all they fucking do.
Do you remember
they
used
to say...
And
you could automate it. We could fucking save a fortune.
Well, do you remember they used to say...
And they could be on strike for the rest of their fucking useless lives.
Well, they used to fucking say they needed a guard. Do you remember? He used to stand in the fucking... the last carriage and press a load of fucking buttons to open and shut the doors. And then after a long and protracted industrial dispute, they got more money and they didn't need them anymore. You know, it was not a question of safety.
Yeah.
You know, nobody gets trapped in the fucking doors because they're not there.
No, exactly.
Everybody does...
I mean... This is the whole point about the RMT strike. Okay, they want a 7% pay rise. They're not getting that. Fuck off. But It's all about trying to retain staff who for many years have not been necessary.
Yeah.
You know, sympathy for them and all that, but you cannot stand against the progress of time. The Luddites tried it, you know, the Fleet Street printers tried it,
yeah.
And now this Mick Lynch, he's going to be the fucking Arthur Scargill of the rail industry.
Who lost?
He's going to put all his fucking members out of fucking work,
yeah.
The stupid bald cunt.
I know, but it's all right for him because he's got a copper-plated fucking...
Yeah, 124 grand a year.
Yeah, plus a fucking great pension, which is the other thing they've all got, right?
Yeah.
And these are all the people who got paid not to work during the fucking lockdown, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't have any fucking trains, so they didn't do anything.
Yeah.
But they got paid massive amounts of money to fucking sit at home.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now they're asking us to pay for them to get more money.
It's a great cartoon in the Telegraph, I think it was, where this sort of bank of pickets all going... And like all these people can't get on trains, all standing around on platforms.
Oh, yeah, I know.
All the pickets going, you know, what about the workers? And all the people standing on the platform saying, we are the fucking workers. We're trying to get to fucking work and you're fucking stopping us. Don't call this a class war. This is just about them.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of working class people are against this strike because it will ruin their fucking lives.
Yeah, but don't worry. It is a class war because all the champagne socialists are going out on fucking strike.
Yeah.
Barristers have now said they're going to go out on
strike.
Oh,
yeah, we're all worried about that.
You know,
fuck off, who
I mean,
cares?
Apparently there are some barristers who don't make a lot of money.
I don't care.
In that case, they're not very fucking bright, are they?
I don't care.
Because if
I
you
don't
are a decent
care.
Barrister, you make a fortune. Teachers are now threatening to go on strike. Fucking doctors are threatening to go on strike. I mean, if the fucking police went out on strike, you'd never notice the fucking difference.
Yeah.
Civil servants, they're all... So it's all these traditionally fucking now... traditional Labour Party voters who are all basically middle class fuckwits who have got pretty cushy jobs, who don't do very much work and who get loads of fucking time off.
Yeah, and even barristers.
And now they're all going on strike.
A lot of barristers are probably quite right leaning, but in the end, they're represented.
I don't think they are.
Well, they're represented.
No.
They're represented by a trades union.
No.
It doesn't really matter what they think. It's the trades union that represents them.
I mean,
and all trades unionists are lefties.
Well, what do you think the fucking human rights lawyers are? Amazingly, none of them can...
They're not right-wing.
Well, none of them...
They're rich.
But the point is that none of them seemingly want to stop the extradition of fucking Julian Assange, but they do want to stop the extradition of some Jamaican fucking rapist and some murderer, because that is against their human rights. But Julian Assange, he can fucking fuck off to America, even though they haven't actually charged him then.
Yeah, but that's not really why they want to stop all these deportations. They want to stop the deportations because that's where they make their fucking money.
Yeah, right.
They earn a lot of fucking...
Another hearing.
They don't give a flying fuck about human rights. They give a flying fuck about their pay packets, which are fucking massive.
Mm.
And they're going, oh, a lot of junior barristers earn less than £20,000 a year. Well, fuck them. Who cares? They're juniors.
Yeah, right.
Well, grow up and then you learn a bit fucking more.
It's like people that moan about doctors.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, junior doctors don't make very much money. Yeah, but they'll make a fucking fortune in about 10 years' time.
Yeah.
So just fucking get used to
it.
Yeah,
and they work these fucking
barristers. They work all hours. What do you think everybody else does?
These barristers, go on strike. Stay on strike for everyone. No one fucking cares. But what they're saying is they want a 25% increase in legal aid so that they can make more money. Who pays the legal aid? We fucking do.
Yeah.
Fuck you, you bewigged cunts. Fucking cunts,
absolute
honestly.
Cunts, yeah.
Barristers, listen, who gives a fuck if you go on strike? Go on strike, stay on strike.
And we've been training for years as well, and we'd had to sit and have all these dinners in chambers. It's such a ridiculous fucking profession.
Yeah,
you know, you have to dress up like a cunt, right? You have to sit around...
Girly wigs on.
Yeah, you have to sit around having fucking dinner with a load of old fogies, right?
Yeah.
So that they can prove that you're not a cunt.
Yeah.
It turns out you are anyway. And then and then you get to sit and carry somebody's books for a while, and then you get to have a case all your own.
You know why lawyers, barristers, solicitors, why they don't like journalists? Because we have to spend a lot of time in courtrooms for covering court
cases. Watching them.
And we know what the general public don't know, and that is that a lot of lawyers are as thick as fucking shit and fucking useless.
Yeah.
I mean, the fucking lawyers I've seen in courts go, bloody hell, don't let that cunt ever represent me. Absolutely fucking useless.
Yeah, that is absolutely...
The idea that all lawyers are clever is an absolute joke.
Well, there's nothing more funny than watching lawyers who think they're clever arguing with people who actually are clever because they're not very bright. Well, look at... Here's a great example of a lawyer, Keir fucking Starmer. Keir Starmer's a lawyer, and he's meant to be a very good lawyer, but he's not a very good lawyer. Yeah. He's not a very good politician. He's a complete and utter twat. Have you seen, by the way, today that David Lammy is now going to be investigated by the Parliamentary Privileges Committee for not declaring 27 grand's worth of something or other?
Fucking,
not quite sure.
People got their fucking fingers in the till, haven't they? So, Mike, what's the difference between a good lawyer and a great lawyer?
I don't know.
A good lawyer knows the law. A great lawyer knows the judge.
Very good.
What's that other joke? The other joke is, what's the difference between a catfish and a lawyer?
I don't know.
One's scum-sucking bottom dweller, and the other one's a fish.
There's another one. What do you call... what have you got when you've got 100 lawyers in a room up to their necks in shit?
What?
Not enough shit.
Fuck those cunts.
Everybody hates lawyers.
Go on strike and fuck off forever. Is it? They just want us, the taxpayers, the hard-up taxpayers, to fund their 6- and 7-figure salaries. Mm. Bollocks.
Yeah, absolutely right. David Lammy's net worth and salary. David Lammy's a politician's net worth. Well, that's not right, is it? That can't be right.
What's he worth?
Says he's worth $800 million. he's not that fucking good. I'll tell you what he does,
though.
I'll tell you what he doesn't fucking know.
That's David Melly, the billionaire.
Yeah. I'll tell you what he doesn't know. He put out a tweet on the weekend, right? Yeah. Picture of Stansted Airport. Spelt Stansted wrong.
Oh, God.
I mean, how fucking stupid do you have to be to spell Stansted wrong?
You've seen him on Celebrity Mastermind.
Oh, yeah. He's not very bright.
He got absolutely everything wrong.
Yeah.
You know, including things like the date of the Second World War.
Fucking ridiculous. Absolute twat. Now, here's one for the archives for you. Remember Jessie Wallace in the old EastEnders days?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's been done, apparently.
Has she?
For attacking a cop after a boozy late night bust-up.
Oh, Jessie.
She's great. Look,
pissed.
Here she is. Look. Go on, you fucking wankers. Look. Have a go at that, you fucking wankers.
She is fucking cat. She is cat from EastEnders.
The actress, 50, was held after a row erupted outside Flex in leafy Bury St Edmunds in front of revelers. It is understood Jessie, who was later released after being given a caution, was with her new lover at the time. A Suffolk police spokesman said a 50-year-old woman was arrested early on Sunday morning in St Andrew Street.
Sunday morning.
On suspicion of assaulting a police officer.
She got cracking early.
And drunken disorderly conduct. She was released without charge after receiving a conditional caution. It's good to see people still behaving like that.
She's all right, Jessie Wallace. She's a fucking good actress as well.
Yeah.
But she does have a tendency to sit around in pubs for about 10 hours at a time.
Yeah, she does. I mean, God love her. I mean, in this day and age of wokery.
Good for her.
This day and age of wokery, you need
human
more people
being,
like that, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely
good
right.
Good old Jessie.
Now, the other thing I wanted to talk to you about was the police, because... to be honest, it's quite surprising to find them out and about at that time of night, because normally they don't like working in the evening, so they're...
Well,
do you see that story today that 1 million burglaries have remained unsolved?
Oh, yeah,
unsolved
I heard your show.
Over the course of three... A million. How are you coming on with that, those burglaries, that list of burglaries?
A million down at the moment. We're hoping for an improvement.
We've just closed the cases, though, because we can't get any. How can you not fucking investigate anything? What are they doing? Yeah. What the fuck are they doing?
Was it that you had somebody tweeted in or texted you to say that she reported a burglary in her house and 30 seconds later got...
No, three hours later they closed the case.
We've investigated this case and closed
it.
No, you fucking haven't.
You've done fuck all. I mean, you do wonder, though, don't you, what people are actually doing. Starmer, we were talking about, right, has finally filled out this poxy questionnaire that he got from Durham Police about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Taking him 3 fucking weeks to fill it out. He's now sent it to them. So what are they doing now?
Yeah.
So they've got the questionnaire. What the fuck are they doing?
Well, there's a lot of people in the Labour Party are saying, is it possible to bribe the Durham police to find Keir Starmer guilty so they can get rid of that useless, boring...
He really is useless, isn't he?
He's fucking hopeless.
He's getting more useless by the week.
Fucking hopeless.
Absolute twat.
Boris Johnson, I think he's steering himself into some serious shit.
Who, Boris?
But... You know, the one massive thing he's got going for him is Keir Starmer.
Well, the other massive thing he's got going for him is not Dominic Raab. Because you see, today he's had to go under the knife.
Boris is in hospital.
He's had to go and get something.
His sinuses.
I thought that would be Michael Gove rather than him. But
yeah.
another story. Yeah, just got a problem with sinuses.
Got something up my nose. You know,
fucking hell.
It's a straw.
Yeah. Anyway. So, yeah, what's all that blood coming out of your fucking nose for? But, yeah, apparently when you go into, it's like in America, if you go into general anaesthetic, you have to hand control. Can you remember, old Al Haig, who went mad?
But he was right, it wasn't him, was it?
When Reagan was shot.
I'm in charge now. It's like, I'm in charge. You're not.
And he was like, no, you're not fucking
in charge.
Because
he was defence secretary and actually the vice president. No, Al, you're not in charge.
You know, it was
but yeah, Dominic Raab is today our de facto prime minister.
That's a worrying thought.
Folks were in trouble.
I think that is a slightly worrying
thought. But I tell you, to be serious, you know, so we've got this, we're now here at the beginning of this week of hell, the rail strikes, the barrister strikes, the doctors strikes, everyone's going on strike. The whole country looks like it's in chaos. Now, the last time this happened, was way back in the early 70s with Ted Heath.
Yeah.
When
was it late 70s with Callaghan? With
Ted Heath, it was early 70s when he had to order a 3-day week.
Yeah, I remember all that.
And he basically, after weeks of this chaos, he went to the public, to the people, and said, look, who's in charge of this country? The union's on me. This is a general election. On that issue, they voted for Jim Callaghan.
Yeah.
So he lost his job over that. Now, there are parallels to be drawn when the fucking country disappears into a chaos and absolute mayhem. The man at the top gets the blame, people say it's the prime minister.
But this is what is going on. They are now launching this class war against the Tory party because Mick Lynch makes no secret of the fact that he thinks all Tories are fucking scum. Very good. That he thinks that they're all fucking capitalist imperialist bastards and that they should be run out of office because he's a fucking communist. This guy is a card-carrying member of an organisation.
You know his big slogan.
But up until relatively recently,
Hair Restorer for All.
Yeah, that relatively recently was supporting fucking Russia.
Yeah.
He's had to kind of rein it back a bit since they invaded Ukraine and started fucking murdering people.
Yeah.
But, you know, basically, he's a fucking
Russian
communist.
But you see, we've had this...
Sympathiser.
When this happens, it does happen from time to time where all the unions come together, basically say, oh, we're striking for more pay. But what they're really doing is they're trying to destroy the government, usually the Tory.
They want to bring it down.
They want to bring the Tory government down. Now, Boris is making the mistake, in my view, of saying, look, all this shit that's going on, it's not my fault. You know, he's got a point. However, people go, when the country's in this shit, they go, it's the Prime Minister's fault.
And he
better be fucking careful. He better be fucking careful.
Well, he does
careful.
Have to beat them, though. That's the point. He has to make sure that he doesn't give in to them, and he has to make sure he doesn't promise them anything. But if it gets to the point where everybody's on fucking strike, He does have a massive problem.
Yeah, one more day of shit on the bank line and Boris Johnson is finished as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, all those voters in Hampstead they
all vote for Labour.
They do.
They're millionaires.
Now listen,
they can afford to be socialists.
Let me tell you about Manscaped this week because it was just Father's Day, but even if you didn't buy anything for your dad, if you have one at the moment, you can now get some Manscaped stuff for him because there's now a performance package 4.0 which includes the signature lawnmower, the perfect bundle, and it's here today. And all you got to do is send off for free shipping, 20% off, with the code POLICE at manscaped.com. And what you get is the lawnmower trimmer, the weed whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, which we've got, the crop preserver ball deodorant, the crop reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to put it all in.
Lovely.
So I think it's pretty damn good.
Good stuff.
And all you've got to do is, as I say, sign up to manscaped.com. You get 20% off just because you listen to the Thought Police. Free shipping. And it's absolutely brilliant. So
yeah, it's good stuff.
We do use all this stuff.
We use it ourselves.
We do. And you can give it to your, if you don't want to give it to your dad, give it to your boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Give it to your girlfriend if she's particularly hairy.
Give it to your girlfriend,
you know.
If she's
normally speaking, you wouldn't do that.
But if you want to do that, you might want to think about getting a different girlfriend.
Well, listen, it's fine. It's a unisex thing.
It's good stuff.
It's absolutely fine. So just remember, 20% off, free shipping. Get the code POLICE at manscaped.com. Mm. Now, coming up over in Rwanda, it's the Commonwealth Heads of Government meetings. You know, I went to one of those once I was a boy. I was in my 20s and I worked for this magazine, my first sort of job in journalism, working for this magazine called The Asian Post.
Yeah, no, you told me about it.
And I went out to New Delhi.
Oh, nice.
And it was fucking great, actually. I nearly stayed there. I got offered a job. Delhi's, running. Delhi's running. I was only 23 at the time.
India.
Yeah, India was fantastic.
Amazing.
And also, when you're visiting it,
you got offered a job out there.
I got offered a job by this. I met this guy who was a publisher, and they were, because they loved the English. You know, they were like, "Oh, you come from England, you must know about editing magazines." I don't know shit. You know. And I nearly stayed. If it wasn't for the fact that I'd gone to America, and actually we're going to talk about this because we've got this idea for our Patreon account.
Okay. Yep.
We're going to talk about our stories of how we got to where we are now, but where we started from, because I'm going to be asking you about how you got to America. But yeah, so this Indian trip that I made, I totally fell in love with the place because it was amazing. And also, I loved the way that it was quite... I mean, it was some really weird shit. I mean, never before or since have I seen somebody sticking their hand in front of me, which was a leper's hand, to ask for money, and they only had two fingers. And it was pretty fucking weird. And then you look around...
That's all you need.
The busy... Yeah, but it wasn't those two, though. Who was like one out there and fucking went to the
room. Go around and fucking, there's the ones that go around on skateboards because they've got no fucking legs.
That's in New
York.
And
they just like pull them.
Those are the guys in New York.
All over fucking, they're all over India. It's a big thing there.
Yeah. I didn't see too many of them, but what I did see was people carrying dead bodies to the fucking Ganges. Like through, like on over their heads. Carrying. It's just amazing.
It fucking stinks, and they build all those funeral pyres.
Because they've got those.
Just burning human flesh.
Also, do you remember the, they used to have these big sort of drains by the side of the road which used to stink because every time it rained they just get overflowing and God knows what was in
there. Oh, it's just fucking,
but
you
it's
don't even have rubbish collections.
No,
they just let it all pile up on the streets.
It's like Britain in the 70s.
It's kind of weird because what is it now, like the fifth biggest economy in the world or sixth, seventh or something. And yet it's a dyed in the wool third world country.
Yeah.
You know, with no proper facilities.
I don't know if you drove around, but we
went dangerously. Yeah.
Very dangerous. Fuck, we had a driver that took us to Agra to see the Taj Mahal.
Yeah, I went there.
And the fucking guy was an absolute nutcase. And when you pass these trucks that had just come off their axles and they were just wrecked by the side of the road.
And buses.
Because they don't fucking, you know, like look after anything, right? This guy, he fucking, we gave him money for petrol, right? And of course, he didn't put any fucking petrol in the car. So we, on the way back to Delhi, we fucking ran out of petrol. And I'm saying to the guy who was our kind of guide, I said, "What the fuck did he do?" He said, "Oh, he kept the money and gave it to his brother." I'm like, "Well, what the fuck did he think we were going to get back?" So he said, "We were going to go and get some more fucking petrol." So we give him, he had a jerry can in the back of the car, gave him more money. He goes off to the nearest village. Next thing we see, he's running back. We were sitting there about an hour. He's fucking running. There's a fucking crowd chasing him. He'd fucking nicked it again and hadn't paid for it. And I'm going, what the fuck are these guys nuts? Like. So we had to give these guys money again because nobody knew what happened to the original money. And then at one point, I'm still smoking in those days. I'm sitting in the back of the car and it's dark by this time. And the guy goes, and somebody leans in and goes, "We've got a lighter." I went, "Yeah." And I sort of gave, absentmindedly gave him a lighter. And I said, "What's it for?" He said, "He can't see where he's putting the petrol in. So he just wants to..."
Oh, God.
I'm like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" You know, it was the most bizarre trip.
They're not very safety conscious. If you go up to... I went up to Kashmir once. Trinidad.
Oh, you told me that was where you took the opium, wasn't it?
Yeah. Took some opium. That wasn't a great idea. but the thing is, the funny thing is, you arrive there, right?
Fucking hate it.
So Kashmir is like this state in India. It's the northernmost state, but it's like nowhere else in India. It's full of Dell boys. They're all like wheeler dealers. They say, "You want this sale? Do you want this sale? I can do this sale," and all this sort of shit. And so there was this guy who like started showing me and Henrietta around, but appointed himself our personal guide. He was quite a nice bloke. And he says, so he's explained to me, he says, "Boy, the thing is, the Kashmir people are different." And he said, "So, for example, there's conscription in India. Everyone has to go in the army, except for people from Kashmir, men from Kashmir." I said, "Well, why don't people from Kashmir have to go in the army?" He said, "Well, they just won't do it." They just say, "Fuck it, we're not doing it." So the Indian government goes, "Oh, fuck it, we'll never get them to do anything." So
fucking brilliant. Yeah. We can't stop the podcast without mentioning your favourite and mine, Mr. Joe Biden.
Oh, God, the bicycle.
I'm still,
Bicycle Joe.
I'm still looking at that fucking hell. I can't stop watching it.
Yeah.
Because never in my life have I seen
every time
something
funny.
That funny. I haven't. Yeah. It's the funniest thing I've ever fucking seen.
I mean, if he was a comedy,
even thinking about
that
it,
that fall and the way it was framed in on the video, where he slowly goes across,
he
and
just
then,
goes. He stopped already.
But a fucking professional comedy clown couldn't have done it better, could they? I mean, if you'd have paid a professional clown to do that properly, they wouldn't have done it funnier, right?
Huh?
Fuck. Dropped dead.
He just dropped it. That was the other thing. He said, did you ever see that fucking video? This was from last week.
Very upsetting.
Just dropped dead. He was supposed to be paying tribute to some fucking guy who died.
Terrible
suddenly.
For the family.
The family. And he actually said
just dropped dead.
He just dropped dead.
Like, yeah, that's Joe. Very diplomatic.
That's
language,
nice, yeah.
Joe. Yeah,
and
nice.
Do you know what else he's going to do? Despite the fact that he thinks that he's the leader of the free world, apparently he's going to fucking Saudi Arabia soon, right?
Ooh.
And he's going to have to visit the Crown Prince, you know, the guy who's accused of being behind the whole fucking killing of Khashoggi.
Yeah.
But he's going to have to go to Jeddah to see them because they don't bother staying in Riyadh, the capital, apparently for their summer period because it's too fucking hot.
Too fucking hot, right.
But so here he is. He's going to have to go there with his fucking begging bowl to see if he can get them to lower the price of fucking oil.
Jesus
what an absolute
Christ,
fucking
Jesus
waste God. Of space.
But you know,
this is after he said he wasn't going to do it as well.
But, you know, I don't think he should be doing it because, you know, Saudi Arabia is terrible when it comes to human rights.
Oh, yeah. But it's okay.
Human rights.
It's okay. Oh, fuck those cunts.
It's terrible. They abuse human rights.
Anyway,
human
listen.
Fucking rights.
Fuck right
take
off.
Take your fucking human rights. Shove them up your fucking ass.
Yeah.
And you can take the fucking European Court of Human Rights and stick it where the sun don't fucking shine.
Yeah, shut it down.
Cunts.
Wankers. We'll see you next time.
Fuck off.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.